This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed, your weekly hour of old-time radio crime brought to you every Wednesday by RelicRadio.com. Our first show this week is the case of the Manhattan Rampage, an episode from Gangbusters that aired July 19th, 1954. After that, it's the Man from Homicide and the Drowned Girl case, his story from August 6th, 1951.
And now, in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you chewing enjoyment, presents for your listening enjoyment, Gangbusters! For chewing enjoyment plus long-lasting refreshment, treat yourself to Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. The lively, full-bodied flavor cools your mouth and freshens your taste. The pleasant chewing helps keep your throat moist and adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. So always keep a package of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy. Enjoy it often, every day, as millions do. Now, Gangbusters.
Good evening, Gangbusters listeners. Some criminals seem to have an instinctive desire to hurt, to inflict pain and terror with sudden, unexpected brutality. But tonight's case involves such a man. A series of some of the most brutal crimes ever committed in the largest city in the nation, New York.
To bring you tonight's report, Gangbusters has asked John J. Sullivan, former deputy commissioner and chief of detectives, Police Department, City of New York, to narrate by proxy the case of the Manhattan Rampage. Please continue, Commissioner Sullivan.
It was about 2 p.m. of a summer's day in 1952 when a black sedan pulled up in front of a small factory building on a little frequented Brooklyn street.
Keep the motor running, Jenny.
Okay. Think anyone will steal the car while we're gone?
You're so funny, you make me sick. Come on, let's go.
Chuck, you sure this is the place?
Yeah. We'll go in this door. We're right in the office.
Hold it.
What now?
Look in the window here. You can see right into the office.
What about it?
There's a copper in there.
Yeah. Must have gone with the old guy when he picked up the payroll. Don't you worry about him. I'll take care of him. I'll take care of him. Come on. Get your gun ready. As soon as we get in, you cover the old guy behind the cage. Leave the copper to me. You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, then let's go.
Keep your hands up.
Officer,
yeah.
Get this
officer. Oh. Copper. Chop us up,
you're killing him.
Shut up, you.
Yeah, you better shut up or you'll get it, too. Okay, now come on out from behind that cage. Bring the cash box with you.
But,
I said come on.
Let go, timer. We mean business.
All right.
Okay, give it to me.
What?
That's all there, I think. About $7,000. Get away from that cop.
Yeah, but he looks awful. You must have fractured his skull.
I said get away from him.
But someone should call a doctor.
Not you, mister. You're going for a ride.
Me? But why?
We like it that way. It's safer.
About an hour later, Henry Stark, the elderly paymaster of the victimized firm, was let out of the car in the Bronx, unhurt but badly frightened. He immediately contacted a police officer and was soon at headquarters giving his account of the robbery to Sergeant Jim Lewis and Detective William Rogers of the robbery squad.
That one man was so tensed up, I think I'm lucky I'm still alive. What about the officer?
Fractured skull, but he'll be all right. I'd sure like to get those guys. You sure about your description, Mr. Stark?
Positive. Like I said, they were both between 25 and 30. The one who hit the officer had the most vicious face I've ever seen. I'll never forget. The other one was chubby and had a little mustache, you know, like Rod LaRocque in the movies.
Who?
That was before your time, Sergeant. Let's say like Ronald Coleman.
Oh. And none of them are here in the Rose Gallery.
As far as I can tell, I must have looked at thousands of pictures. I'm tired. I'd like to rest.
Oh, of course, Mr. Stark. You go on home. If we need you again, we'll get in touch with you. And thank you very much.
That's all right. I'll find my own way out. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, Mr. Stark.
Well?
That's what I say. Well?
No, this is the sixth job in the last few weeks, and all of them, we get the same general description. None of the victims have been able to find anything here in the gallery.
Don't you think I know?
Want to go across the street, cup of coffee?
I think I could use it. One of these characters sure seems to get pleasure out of being cruel.
Yeah, so I noticed. And that spells trouble.
What kind of trouble do you mean?
Well, a guy like that's almost a sure bet to end up killing. And we've got to find him before he does it.
Well, pretty boy. Mike made a nice sale there, didn't he? Don't worry. Mike will be back right away. He's just carrying the sherry to the woman's place for the party. Oh, more customers. Don't have to wait for Mike.
You don't have to wait, mister. Open that cash register quick.
But I don't work here.
I don't want any arguments. You won't open it, I'll come around there myself and open it. Lousy bird.
Dirty boy. When you knock this cage down, he'll be hurt.
Never mind.
But he didn't do it. No.
Did you hear me? You get the register, Johnny, while I take care of this guy.
Okay.
You come over here with me, little man.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to teach you a little manners. That's what I'm going to do. Come on. Come on!
All set, Chuck.
In a minute. I don't like the way you talk to me.
I didn't say anything.
You're arguing with me. Don't argue with me.
Sure, sure. Don't point that gun at my head.
Why not? You afraid it might go off?
Yes.
I've got news for you, mister. You're right. See? You were right.
You nuts. What did you shoot him for? Come on, let's get out of here fast.
All right, keep out.
Boy, this crowd sure do like to see blood.
Oh, sure, Frank, as long as it's somebody else's.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Medical examiner ought to be here soon.
Yeah, look over there. A cage on the floor. Now, take it easy. I won't hurt you. Come on. Ah, that's better.
Oh, Sergeant.
Hi, Bill. I just picked up the report.
Oh, you know Frank Papen, don't you, Sergeant?
Hello.
Hi.
You pick up anything on this?
Well, there was a woman, Sergeant. Said she saw two men run into a car.
Get any kind of a look at them?
Not much, but generally it's what you were afraid of.
The same two, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Remember I said someday that guy would kill? He sure did it. But we'll snag him, Bill. I'm sure of that, too.
It's not going to be easy the way they flit around.
Yeah, I know. But sooner or later, those two babies will try to hold up where we're waiting for them. And that's the day they'll find themselves facing the wrong end of a gun.
Friends, next time you chew a stick of Wrigley Spearmint Gum, notice how cool and fresh it makes your mouth feel. That's because Wrigley Spearmint Gum has lots of lively, refreshing flavor in every stick. The minute you sink your teeth in, that cooling flavor begins to freshen your taste and relieve that hot, dry feeling in your throat. It sweetens the breath, too. Millions of people carry Wrigley Spearmint Gum with them wherever they go for quick, long-lasting refreshment and for real chewing enjoyment. Next time you're at the store, get some Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. Enjoy its refreshing flavor and good, pleasant chewing often every day. Remember, that's Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. Now, back to Gangbusters and former Deputy Commissioner and Chief of Detectives, John J. Sullivan, New York.
Well, Gangbusters listeners, the New York Police Commissioner, together with his Chief of Detectives, devised a plan to cope with these ruthless gunmen, and many traps were set up throughout the city. But just a few days after the killing in an 8th Avenue bar...
Thank you.
Hello, Johnny.
What? Chuck, where have you been?
Oh, just walking around. Looking for a little excitement.
Excitement? Boy, you don't know when you've had it. I got scared. Thought maybe the cops had picked you up.
Hey, waiter, two beers.
Oh, what? Still think we ought to lay low instead of walking around town.
Look, if you want to lay low, lay low. Don't bother me. I do what I want, you do what you want.
Cut it, the waiter.
Pay for it, will you, Johnny?
Don't tell me you're broke.
Pay for it.
Okay. Here.
Some tiffler.
Sweet. Well, here's to nothing. Ah, that's better. No, I ain't broke. I just figured you owed me a beer, that's all.
Okay. Maybe you ought to take some advice with that beer, too.
You gonna drink yours?
No, take it.
Thanks. You know, you're the only guy I like, Johnny. The only guy.
Well, then listen to me. You were nuts enough to bump that guy. You didn't have to.
It was a test.
They pick you up. It don't do me no good to lay low, because you'll spill.
What do you mean?
Never mind. Believe me, Chuck, we're red hot.
Oh, will you stop worrying? No cop will find us.
Is that so? Look over by the door. Look what just come in.
A couple of cops, huh? Just a routine check.
I'm not so sure.
Wait a minute. They're looking this way, Johnny. They come over here.
Don't be a sap again. Come on. There's a back way out of this joint. I spotted it. Come on.
I guess you're right.
This way. Through this door. Quick.
Okay. It's dark in here.
Just follow me. There's another door leads to the street. Ah, careful. Here it is. Whew. I was kind of close.
We're okay now, ain't we?
Yeah, but for how long? Will you listen to me, Chuck? Just this once.
What do you want me to do?
Come up to my joint with you and stay there. Just a week, that's all. Just a week. Give things a chance to cool off. Will you do that?
Will you do that? All right, I'll do it.
Hey, Chuck, go easy on that, will you? It's the last bottle we got.
Nuts to you, Johnny.
Give it up, man.
Don't go grabbing things like that for me, Johnny. I'm warning you.
I just don't want you to drink up all the liquor.
You're asking for trouble, Johnny. You're asking for trouble.
God! I want it to you. I want to win back the 50 you took from me last night.
I'm sick of it.
What's the matter with you anyhow, Chuck?
Looking at you, playing cards, locked up in this lousy apartment. I don't want no more of it.
5 days. 5 days. That's all we've been here. We've got to stick it out a little longer.
Oh, I don't know why I let you talk me into it in the first place. Your chicken and I fall for it.
Oh, come on, Chuck. Relax. Let's play cards.
Cards is what I think of cards.
You are going nuts.
What are you going to do about it, Johnny?
Nothing.
Chicken. I'm getting out of here.
Be reasonable, will you? Chuck, we've been partners for 2 years now, isn't that right?
So?
We got along, didn't we?
What do you want me to do, play hearts and flowers? I'm not sticking, that's all. Maybe you can sit here and stew forever. I'm not built that way.
Yeah. The only way you're built is to bang someone over the head or pull a trigger.
Like this, you mean?
Put that gun away, Chuck.
Why? You afraid I pull the trigger, are you? You just got through saying we were partners, we got along. I wouldn't pull the trigger on my partner, would I?
Put away, Chuck, will you?
Put it away, Chuck, will you? Sure, I'll put it away right in your stomach.
What did you do that for? What kind of stunt was that?
Look at you. Why don't you straighten up, Johnny, huh? You got a pain somewhere, maybe?
I'll straighten up for life! I'll break your lousy neck!
Yeah, you got a chance, you mean?
This is one time too many! Don't!
Come on. Come on, get up. Get up! You wanted to break my neck? Come on, do it! Maybe I ought to use this gun right now.
No, Chuck, don't. Look, Chuck, I didn't mean it.
Chuck, please.
Here. Chuck, what was it you wanted to do? You wanted to go out? Okay, we'll go out. Anything you say.
All right.
Thanks, Chuck. Thanks. You're real powerful.
All right, save it. Let's get going.
Where?
I don't know. We'll heist a car, maybe. We'll pick a spot, maybe make a couple of bucks. Get a little excited.
You think it's safe?
I thought you said you were going.
Yeah, sure.
All right, then come on. Run smooth, don't she? I said she runs smooth.
Yeah.
You're not sore, are you?
Watch where you're driving.
Better off, Johnny. We're out in the air, driving in a new car, getting a little fun out of life.
Past a red light.
So what?
So a cop might stop us, that's what. We don't have to explain where we got the car, do we? Or didn't you think of that?
No, I didn't.
Hey, slow down. There are lots of cops around Times Square, even at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, Johnny. Anything you say.
You know where you're going?
Well, I figured we'd go along 41st Street, turn up 8th Avenue, and maybe we'll see it.
I guess it's as good as anything else. Now what?
Red light, Johnny. You see, I'm doing what you said. What more can you ask?
Go ahead, it turned green.
Right.
Look out! I let you watch the lights, you jerk!
I'd like to have rammed that guy once.
Oh, wouldn't you like to ram? After this one, I think I'm checking out.
What'd you say?
Nothing. Here's 8th Avenue. Turn right.
Hey, look up ahead.
I don't see anything.
Not on your side, on mine. That fight outside the bar. Looks like a real scrap, huh?
Yeah. What are you stopping for?
Want to get out and watch.
That fight?
Yeah, sure. Looks like a good one.
Don't be a sap.
Oh, come on. Only take a couple of minutes.
But the cops, they'll be coming to break it up.
So what? They don't know us. Come on, son. Well, are you coming?
I'll break your neck for you.
Might as well.
Come on, hurry up, Johnny. Looks like a real bloody one.
Look at that little guy. Come on, give it to him. Atta boy, give it to him.
Chuck, the cops are coming, like I said. Let's get out of here.
Ah, they don't know us, Johnny. I want to watch this. Come on, hit him.
All right, now break it up. Come on, now break it up. Come on, all of you.
All right, get moving, all of you. Come on, now.
Come on, break it up.
That's it. On your way. You guys want to fight, join the Marines.
Hey, Frank.
Yeah?
Those two babies walking across that convertible?
Sure.
Remember the two hoods we're keeping an eye out for? Yeah. The ones who killed that man in the liquor store?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, Bill. Could be. They're the kind to be interested in a street fight.
All right, let's get over there.
Hey, you two. Stay out of that car a minute.
What do you want, officer?
We just want to talk to you.
I warned
you. Shut up.
Talk? Sure. I'll say it.
Look out, Frank, his gun!
Oh, come on, Johnny, run for it.
You all right, Frank?
Yeah.
Just a scratch. Let's get after him. There they are, behind that car.
Stay away, coppers!
Can't shoot at him from here, too many people.
I know. We'll have to rush him. Come on, Bill. There goes one of them. You hit him, Bill.
Right, here comes Wickers. He'll take the one that's down. Let's get the other guy.
He ducked down behind that other car, I think. Over there.
Quick, before he gets away in that car.
Yeah.
Don't shoot anymore.
Throw your gun away, mister.
Yeah, sure. Oh, my hand. You hit my hand.
All right, come on. Out of the car.
All right, but don't shoot.
Yeah, frisk him, Bill.
I got nothing on me, honest.
All right, he's clean.
What about Chuck? What happened to Chuck?
Got it in the leg. You'll meet him in that headquarters.
Him and his excitement.
What's that?
He had to have excitement.
He had to watch a street fight. He'll never learn.
I think he learned this time, mister. Okay, let's go.
With the capture of the two gunmen, identified as Clarence Sims and Cecil Johnson, the activities of the vicious holdup gang were stopped. Both men were quickly brought to trial, resulting in a 10 to 30 year sentence for Johnson and a 35 to 40 year sentence for Sims in May of 1953. They are now in Sing Sing.
Thank you, John J. Sullivan, former Deputy Commissioner and Chief of Detectives, New York City Police. In just a moment, Gangbusters Nationwide Clues. Friends, Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum is a refreshing, delicious treat you can enjoy even while you're working, driving your car, or busy doing other things. Just chew it as long as you like. The pleasant chewing will make the time pass more pleasantly for you, and you'll enjoy that cooling, refreshing flavor. It'll help to keep your mouth and throat moist. A real help on warm summer days. Keep a package or two of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy all the time. Chew and enjoy it often as millions do. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. And now, Gangbusters Nationwide Clues, broadcast every week to assist American police in their war against the underworld. Attention all citizens, watch for Lloyd Reed Russell, one of the 10 most wanted men, sought by the FBI for unlawful flight to avoid confinement or crime of assault, his official description.
Lloyd Reed Russell, age 31, 5 feet 1 half inch, 147 pounds, small build, brown hair, bald on top, brown eyes, medium complexion. May seek work as fireman or farmer. This man has two prominent scars. One 3.5-inch ragged laceration center of forehead. One 3-inch cut on forehead above right eye. Also has noticeable scar on left eyebrow near nose. Has a very broad nose.
Caution, Russell is probably armed and he is considered dangerous. He has twice escaped from custody and once wounded a police officer in fleeing from prison. Attention all citizens and police officers. Be on alert for Robert Dold, who is wanted by the FBI for unlawful flight to avoid confinement for the crime of armed robbery.
Robert Arnold Dold, alias Pineapple, age 26, 5 feet 8 and 1 half inches, 158 pounds, medium build, blonde hair, blue eyes, fair complexion. Occupations, machinist, radio repairman, sign painter, seaman. This fugitive has quarter-inch scar left side of neck. Tattoo of anchor and shield with inscription USMS on right forearm. And tattoo on left leg. He reportedly plays bass fiddle, enjoys auto racing, roller skating, and fishing. May wear mustache.
Caution, Dold has fired at a pursuer, may be armed and should be considered dangerous. If you have any information concerning these clues, notify your local police, the nearest office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or Gangbusters at once. Tonight's Gangbusters case was dramatized by Art Wallace and directed by Leonard L. Bass, with Larry Haynes and Mason Adams in leading roles. The entire production was supervised for CBS Radio by John Ives. Gaylord Avery speaking. Gangbusters, a production of CBS Radio, in cooperation with Phillips H. Lord, is brought to you each week, same time, same station, by Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat you can enjoy even while you're busy. This is the CBS Radio Network.
In just a few moments, The Man from Homicide, starring Dan Duryea. Henry J. Taylor, author, journalist, and ABC commentator, whose commentaries on world affairs are heard each Monday evening on ABC, is on a fact-finding tour of European countries. Periodically, Mr. Taylor takes trips abroad to examine activities at first hand. During the weeks he's in Europe, his Monday evening commentary, Your Land and Mine, will be broadcast each week from a different European capital. He speaks tonight from Heidelberg. So listen for Henry J. Taylor's penetrating analysis on Your Land and Mine. A Man from Homicide. According to Webster's Dictionary, homicide is the killing of one human being by another. According to Lieutenant Lou Dana,
it's the beginning of a dirty, dangerous job that doesn't end until a killer is found. I don't like killers.
Every week at this time, the American Broadcasting Company brings you transcribed the star of stage and screen, Dan Duryea, as Lieutenant Lou Dana, the man from Homicide.
One way or another, people keep dying all the time. That interests doctors, insurance companies, and statisticians. But sometimes people are helped to die, and that interests us. In homicide, we work at it. The death that comes because somebody was afraid, because somebody hated, because somebody killed.
Pretty clear case of suicide, Lieutenant.
The place was a pier jutting out into the bay. The time was 2 a.m. The occasion...
You don't often get an eyewitness to suicide, Lou, but this time we've got one. A cop, too.
The girl they'd fished out of the bay was young. At one time, she might have been pretty, but that time was before the waters of the bay got at her.
Yes, sir, one of our men saw her go in.
They were working on her with a pull motor. What they needed was a miracle.
Yeah. Uniformed man was maybe 50 yards from her when he heard her scream. He started towards her. She was easy to see. Counted the lamppost right near the spot she jumped from. By the time he got there, she was under. Lou?
The sergeant was fat. Probably made getting clothes to fit him tough. I thought it was a good thing he didn't have to wear a uniform anymore.
Lou!
Sorry, Dave. I guess I was dreaming. Stick of gum, Pappy?
No, thanks. Lou, okay if the boys remove the body? She's dead.
Yeah, it's okay.
All right, boys, get her out of here, huh?
All right. Come on, get her.
There was no identification on her, Dave?
No.
No labels on her clothes and no purse, huh? How about a hat?
She was wearing one when she went in.
Where is it?
The hat?
The hat.
Well, I guess nobody bothered fishing for it.
I want somebody to bother.
Well, okay, Lou, I'll put a couple of the boys on it. But
call it attention to detail, Dave. I don't like it.
Don't like what?
That girl dying the way she did. She was young, Dave. Pretty. Death by drowning hurts.
She picked it for herself.
Maybe. She was too alone, Dave.
Suicides don't usually look for company.
They don't bother dying incognito, either.
Well...
Sure, I know. It could have been that way. Did you notice her hair, Dave?
Was blonde.
She'd had a permanent. Even the bay water didn't bother it much. A recent permanent.
Nah, something's working on you.
Yeah. Suicides are tired and worn, bitter sometimes. This girl's face was untouched. She hadn't lived long, Dave. She hadn't lived much. Not nearly enough to find out what life was. Not nearly enough to ask for death. And Dave, she screamed. I went back to headquarters and waited. I wondered how it felt to breathe water instead of air. I wondered why any man chose to be in homicide. After a while, I stopped wondering and just waited.
Lou?
Yeah, Dave?
No sign of the hat. You know, the bay is kind of big.
Autopsy in yet?
I got it.
Thanks.
Anything?
Sure. She was drowned. Water in her lungs. Water that tested out as bay water.
Well, that cleans it up, don't it?
I don't know. Dave, get a hold of the copper, so I'll go in. Have him describe the hat to one of the lab men and have the lab man make a sketch of it.
Sure, only one.
Why? I'm trying not to believe that life's so lousy a girl like that wouldn't want it. Her clothes were cheap. It's been a warm night. Why was she wearing a hat?
Have you got something there?
A bad taste is what I've got. Get me that sketch, will you, Dave? If nothing else, it'll look good in her file. The rest of the routine went along fine. Pictures of her would go to the papers, and a request for identification would go with them. There might be trouble, though. The people who'd known her hadn't seen her dead. Her lungs filled with bay water. It, makes a difference.
Here's your sketch, Lou.
Thanks. Wow. That's quite a hat.
Yeah. Designer must have just heard about the birds and the bees, not to mention the fruit.
Elaborate and expensive. It's a wrong note, Dave. Too much hat.
Oh, you're a stubborn man, Lou. Maybe the girl just blew a week's salary on that hat. Kind of a splurge.
Just before she decided to die?
Yeah.
No one's come in to identify her, huh?
Not yet.
Not ever.
You're guessing wild.
No, I'm not. Why were the labels on her clothes removed? Dave, I have copies of that sketch made. Put a few policewomen on the job. A hat like that means a designer. It's not mass production stuff like the girl's clothes. I want that designer found.
Okay, Lou. And if we turn him up?
Make sure our people don't get spotted as cops.
Yeah. And then what?
And then I'll go visiting. I never heard her scream, Dave. Just a report about it. But somehow that scream's in my ears. I want to get rid of it. It took time, but the dead girl had all the time there was. Finally, I got an address. And a name. The name was printed large in gilt letters on a shop window. It read Vogue Millinery. Underneath, in small letters, Martha Wayne. I went in.
Hello.
Hello.
I rather like to have a man stop in. I get so tired of... Well, women are fine. They're the ones who buy my hats, mostly, but... Oh, you did want to see me about a hat.
I did. You're, Mrs. Wayne?
Miss Wayne.
You design all these hats?
Yes. Guilty as charged.
They're manufactured here?
Manufactured is such a large word. They're made here. I usually have someone help me.
Oh, isn't that a lot of work?
Not really. You see, I make only one of a kind. Not very many at that.
Then any hat bought here...
would be absolutely unique. You're thinking of surprising your wife.
I'm not married.
Well, you're thinking of surprising someone?
In a way. I have a picture here.
Oh?
Look at it.
I see. Oh, she's very pretty, of course, but the photograph isn't terribly good, is it? I mean, it looks distorted.
Maybe. You don't recognize her?
Recognize? Oh, she must be a celebrity, and I'm very stupid, but no, I don't recognize her.
No, she's no celebrity. She bought a hat here.
She did?
That's why I thought you'd recognize her.
Oh, I have a very bad memory for faces. Now, if you showed me the hat she bought...
I've got a sketch that might help. Take a look at it.
Oh, you're quite an artist, aren't you?
This is one of your hats?
Well, I think so. Your friend told you she bought it here?
No.
Well, then however
you... put labels in the hats you make, don't you?
Oh, of course. I'm terribly dense. All you had to do was look inside the hat.
You keep records of the sales you make?
Well, naturally. The kind of clientele I have. And besides, there's so many taxes we have to pay.
I want the name of the girl you sold that hat to.
Her name? But if she's a friend of yours...
I didn't say that.
Well, no, but I assume
I'd
that...
like her name.
I'm sorry. I don't think I can give you that information.
Why not?
I don't know that the lady would want you to have it.
The lady's wishes don't matter very much. Not anymore.
I beg your pardon?
My name is Dana, Lieutenant Dana. My credentials.
Oh. Well, there isn't anything wrong about...
Your hats? That wouldn't be my business. I'm homicide.
Homicide? Well, then you'd be Lou Dana. You're the celebrity.
Well, the papers run out of copy every once in a while.
I didn't recognize you. Although I've seen pictures of you. You look younger and...
The name of the girl?
Oh, I'm sorry. My record's in the back room. If you'll wait a few moments...
I'll wait.
I'll be right back.
It was a long distance from the cold waters of the bay to the warm, perfumed shop where Martha Wayne made hats. I wondered how the dead girl had got from one place to the other. It kept me from wondering about Martha Wayne and the things that had nothing to do with death. Martha Wayne was taking a long time, too long a time. Miss Wayne? Miss Wayne? Miss Wayne? There was a back room. It held a couple of sewing machines, odds and ends of equipment, a desk, a chair, and an open window. The window looked out onto an alley leading to the next street. It was empty. As empty as the room I was in. Lieutenant Dana, I want an address for a Martha Wayne. She's not in the phone book, but she runs a hat shop on Miller Avenue. Yeah, that's right. Sales tax people that have it. Make it fast and call me here. The number's Arden 48747. I'm in a hurry and I don't know why. Dana. 39 Carlisle. Thanks. The house was an old brownstone. The steps were worn that led up to the stoop. The windows were shuttered. No one was in a hurry to answer the doorbell. The door was locked. The neighborhood wasn't good. Streets littered, sidewalks cracked, doors sagging. I tried a few keys. One of them worked. The lights weren't on. That figured. No one was home. I was wrong. For a while I felt fine. Things were soft and dark and warm. Nothing mattered. That was the way it would be when you died, I thought lazily. But I was wrong. It didn't last. Light came back. And sound. And pain.
Lou, wake up, will you? Lou? Wake up.
What? Oh. Hello, Dave.
Oh, you
had me worried.
I seem to be lying down. Yeah. On the floor. Dirty floor. Help me up, Dave.
Okay.
Thanks.
For a minute there, I was scared.
Nobody kills Dana.
Now, that could be wrong.
Sure, but I don't want to know about it. Why did you...
You phoned in for this address, and then you didn't check in. I got worried.
How long
is it?
It's
11, Lou.
11?
Yeah.
I must have been out for a good 4 hours. Correction, a bad 4 hours.
Yeah.
Dave, did you see anyone when
no.
you... No. Well, let's go look through the rest of the house.
Now, you feel all right?
I feel lousy. We'll look anyway.
For what?
A dark-haired girl named Martha Wayne. A girl who runs a hat shop. Right now, maybe. Just a girl who runs. We looked through the rest of the house. We didn't find Martha Wayne. I hadn't expected to. We found lots of other things, though.
Well, that's it, Lieutenant.
That's it.
House full of antique furniture, old silver, paintings.
Very high class.
Very expensive. Also too much.
A lot too much.
Yeah, not a house for a family to live in.
A warehouse, Dave.
What I was thinking.
A warehouse for stolen goods.
We'll get the burglary detail on it.
They'll love us for finding the merchandise.
Now, what does all this make Martha Wayne, Lieutenant?
A receiver of stolen goods, at best.
And at worst?
A killer. The burglary detail came and loved us. The house that Martha Wayne had lived in was filled with the loot from half a dozen big robberies. That took care of that. We put out an alarm for Martha Wayne. That didn't take care of that.
What's that thing you're fiddling with?
Oh, this?
Yeah.
Well, something I picked up in the room Martha Wayne lived in. It's a medal, Dave.
Medal?
Yeah. She'd been a Girl Scout. Also a senior lifesaver.
What flavor? Trying to be funny.
Relax, Pappy. I don't bite. I hope that's for me. Dana here. Yeah? Uh-huh. Yeah. Good. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
What was that?
Burglary detail. Good old routine. The cop's best friend.
Yeah. I'm not only getting fatter, I'm getting stupider.
They've been worried about a cat named Barlow. A lot of burglaries bore his trademark the last few months, and they haven't been able to get anything on him, though.
Well, what good is that?
I don't know yet. I'll go ask Barlow.
But a burglary already worked on
them. They were gentle. All they had to worry about was stolen property. I won't be gentle.
Lou, you better take it easy.
Dave, there's nothing in my life except what? Death. Killers. Pain and violence. I'll take it as easy as I know how, but I'm not worrying about stolen property. I'm worrying about murder. Burglary had mentioned the yellow disc. It turned out to be a saloon with a girl singer, an out-of-tune piano, and a tough doorman.
Yeah?
I'm coming in.
Mention a name.
Ralph Waldo Emerson.
I don't like that name.
I'm still coming in.
Now look, mister, nobody gets in the yellow disc without an invitation. You ain't got one.
I got this.
A badge. A real badge. You know what? I bet you're a cop.
You win the bet.
You still ain't coming in.
Let's find out.
You know what this is?
Yeah, a sap. Technically, a concealed weapon.
Well, it ain't concealed now.
You're frightening me.
You're gonna get it.
I've been sapped before tonight. I'm getting used to it.
Well, you must like it.
Hey, my arm. Hey, you could break it.
Don't suggest things to me. Drop the sap.
Okay.
Well, it won't do you no good taking me. You did a nice job. Walk in there, you got trouble.
Maybe I like trouble.
Okay.
Okay, I'm out of your way. You're tough, sure. You could handle me. There's half a dozen guys in there.
Open the door for me, huh?
Oh, sure.
Thanks. Suppose you announce me.
Oh, okay. What name?
Lou Dana.
Lou Dana. No wonder you took me.
You heard what I said.
Yeah, yeah. Lieutenant Lou Dana. That's this guy.
Now get back outside.
Yeah?
A saloon. The girl singer left quick. A small combo played background music. A handful of men sat around at small tables. They all bulged at one place or another. Shoulder holsters or hip pocket rods, concealed weapons. Most of them had a girl at the table with them. Their weapons weren't especially concealed.
Dana.
Make it, Lieutenant. I feel formal tonight.
What do you want here?
Not a thing.
Then get out.
You worried about what?
Something happening to you.
Thanks.
Let's not play games. I run this place. I run it without cops.
Keep right on running it. Which one is Barlow?
I don't hear a word you say.
Which one is Barlow?
You got a warrant for him?
All the mugs in town are turning legal.
I never heard of anybody named Barlow.
Which one?
Move in on me and you'll stop asking questions. You'll get an answer. You won't like it.
I'm crazy about answers, any kind. Point him out.
Okay. He's the one at the corner table.
Thanks. Hello, Barlow.
Hello.
Let's go for a walk.
Okay.
You're coming easy.
Why not?
I wouldn't know. How about your little playmates?
Must have been reading the papers about you.
Convenient. Come on.
Since when are you doing burglary, Lieutenant?
I'm not.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Oh, no. We keep right on going. Or don't you believe what you read in the papers?
We keep on going.
Thanks, Mr. Barlow. Thanks.
Hey, what are you stopping here for?
This time of night, I'm crazy about the bay. Get out.
I ain't interested in sightseeing.
Get out.
Okay, but under protest, see?
Under protest. Come on. I want to get a closer look at the water.
But I don't know what you've got in mind.
I'll let you know in time. Right here ought to do. Up above and to your right, Barlow. That's a pier.
Oh, thanks for telling me.
Down here, we've got more privacy. Funny thing about that pier.
Yeah?
A kid jumped off it last night right into the bay. She drowned.
What's that got to do with me?
A cop saw her go over. With a little luck, she might have been saved. If somebody went into the bay from down here, nobody'd see him, Barlow.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Oh, no, you're staying right here, Barlow.
What do you want from me?
An introduction to Martha Wayne.
Martha? I don't know nobody named that.
From down here, you'd go into the water smooth and easy. Can you swim, Barlow?
No.
Too bad.
Hey, let go of me.
Ever try breathing water instead of air?
I should let go.
We're right near the edge now, Barlow. One push and...
I'll yell.
Who'd hear you out here at this time of night?
Okay. I'll take you to her.
Wow. Thanks, Barlow. Thanks very much.
Know what you think you're doing.
Very simple. You're a burglar. Martha Wayne's a fence. You steal the stuff, she disposes of it. The millinery store's a front.
Oh, that's guessing. And besides, what's it got to do with homicide?
That's what we're gonna find out. Knock, Barlow.
Okay.
Who is it?
Barlow.
What are you?
We're both coming in, Miss Wayne.
Dana.
Ah, you remembered.
You're not an easy man to forget, Lieutenant.
Thanks. This, apartment's a lot nicer than the brownstone.
What brownstone?
You're listed as the owner.
But there's no law against having more than one place to live.
Tonight, everybody's quoting the law to me.
Why did you bring Barlow here?
He brought me.
I had to. He would have drowned me.
Shut up.
Okay, I'll shut up.
You were really anxious to meet me, weren't you?
I still want the name of the girl who bought that hat from you.
You're very persistent.
So?
Why not forget her, Lieutenant? Wouldn't be hard. I'd help.
All this for a burglary rap?
That's an act, Lieutenant, isn't it? Because you do respond when I'm close to you, like this.
I respond all right. I remember the kid who went into the bay.
The kid who what?
Last night, a girl wearing one of your hats jumped into the bay. A cop on duty heard her scream and looked around. She was near a lamppost. He saw her go over.
Well, that's very sad, but...
It's more than sad. It's murder.
Murder? But you yourself just told me she jumped in.
She did. But she wasn't the one who died.
She wasn't the one who... You're confusing me.
No, I'm not. You run a millinery store. In that store, you have an assistant. Let's suppose that assistant is a girl. A girl who finds out by accident what your business really is. A receiver of stolen goods. Suppose that girl is young, naive. Tells you she's going to inform the police. What would you do?
You're the one who's supposing all these things.
You'd have to make sure she wouldn't go to the police. One way would be to murder her. But that's dangerous. People get executed for murder. So, with a little help, Barlow's, for example, you get the girl down to the bay and drown her.
That would be murder anyway. Besides, the policeman saw her jump by herself.
You drown her in the bay, in the water underneath the pier. Then you go up on the pier yourself. You're dressed exactly the same way she is. You wait until a policeman's around, some little distance away. You pick out a place near a lamppost. Then you scream. The policeman sees you. He starts towards you, but you jump into the water. The harbor detail dredges, comes up with the body of a drowned girl. The policeman would swear it was the same girl he'd seen go over. It wasn't.
Very, very clever, Lieutenant. But only a guess.
You could do it. You were a senior lifesaver. You swim well. The dead girl was already in the water under the pier. You hit the water, you swim away, climb out of the bay a few hundred yards from the pier. A perfect murder setup.
A guess.
Why would a suicide pick a lamppost? Why would a suicide scream before jumping? Not a guess.
You'll never be able to prove it.
Barlow isn't a very strong character. He brought me to you, and he'll testify, hoping he might get away with a second-degree murder rap. Won't you, Barlow?
Well, she did it all. I didn't know what she was planning.
You see?
I have nothing to say.
No, you haven't. Not anymore. Not in this life. And it all came from a hat. The hat that was wrong. But the dead girl was blonde. You're brunette, Miss Wayne. You had to wear a hat for a masquerade. That hat will hang you. That was all. They were booked, they'd be tried, and in due time they'd die. I finished my report and signed it. I didn't see the paper I was writing on. I saw a young girl with an untouched face and all of her life before her, lying dead and watery on the rough wood of a pier. I don't like killers.
You have just heard another in a transcribed series starring Dan Duryea as The Man from Homicide. The Man from Homicide is written by Lou Vitties, directed by Dwight Houser. This program came to you from Hollywood. America is sold on ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
That's it for Case Closed this week. Hope you enjoyed the shows you heard today. You can find more from them at relicradio.com alongside past episodes of this show, a variety of other old-time radio, our Shoutcast stream, And you can donate through the website as well if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Your donations make all of this possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed.